Good to see you this evening. Remember that Wednesday night, Lord willing, we will be studying the book of Exodus, doing a survey of the Bible. And so hope everyone is involved in reading the book of Exodus before Wednesday night. And I hope that you can be here. This evening, I want us to consider the wilderness. Why did Israel have to go through the wilderness after the Exodus from Egyptian bondage? When you look at a biblical map, you see that the path of the wilderness is a longer way to get from Egypt to the land of Canaan. God could have led them on a short path, an easier way. He could have led them by the sea and avoided the wilderness. So why the wilderness? Why did they have to go through the wilderness? Well, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. I hope that you were just there as Brother Mark read to us the first 10 verses. I believe we can see here in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that Moses gives the reason. This question we ask, why the wilderness? Why did they take the long way? Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2 gives us the reason, and it's a threefold answer. It says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." So the first reason is so that they would be humbled, to test them. God's people had to go through the wilderness to be humbled. God allows us to go through difficult hardships in this life, to endure suffering, loss of life from loved ones, so that we can be humbled. We need humility. God gives grace to the humble, as we talked about in our Bible study in the auditorium this morning. Jesus, as he began his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those that are humble." By humility, does it come to us through times of prosperity and victory naturally? No. It usually comes to us when we're going through hardship and loss. And God tells Israel that they needed to be humbled. And that's why they spent 40 years in the wilderness. The wilderness is the place where we can learn self-reliance is not an option, that we depend upon God. We cannot rely on ourselves. God is faithful. We need to trust him. When you're in the wilderness, you see that you do not have the power or the wisdom to help yourself, that you need God's help. And you look for his help and you realize that. So the first reason it gives in Deuteronomy 80 verse 2, why the wilderness, is because to humble us and test us. Number two, it was to know what was in their heart, to reveal their heart. Suffering shows who we are. Suffering reveals what is on the inside of us. Trials put who we are on display. We can oftentimes fake faith when things are going well, but when severe trials come along in our life, who we really are comes out. And faith is made real when life is difficult. So that's the second reason, to reveal what was in their heart, to reveal what's in our heart. And the third thing is to know whether or not we will keep God's commandments. Keeping God's commandments are much more challenging when we're going through difficult times. Trials are asking if we will still obey the Lord when life does not go the way that we desire it, when our dreams are not being fulfilled. Trials are seeing if we will still obey when we're going through painful times. I think about the letter of Hebrews. It was written to people that were undergoing persecution, and they are thinking about turning away from Christ and turning back to Judaism. And the writer says that they're not to do that, that Christ is superior in every way. As we talked about this morning, that this heavenly reward, this rest, is better than anything here in this life, and it teaches us that. But I think of Job, and I think about when he was allowed to suffer by God. God allowed that. Satan wanted that. And Satan says to God, you know, he is just your servant because you put this hedge of protection around him. You take that away, you let him suffer, he will not continue to obey you and keep your commandments. And even Job's wife told him, and you remember her response to this, you know, she said to Job, why are you still maintaining your faith and integrity towards God? Curse God and die, Job 2 in verse 9. And many people stop obeying the Lord when they're suffering. So this is why the wilderness, they were to be humbled and tested. They were to reveal what was in their heart and to show whether or not they would keep God's commandments. It was an intentional thing. It wasn't that God didn't know the shortcut from Egypt to the land of Canaan. It wasn't that he lost his sense of direction. It was intentional that he led them through the wilderness. And I think that's what verses 3 and 4 teach us in Deuteronomy 8. Verses 3 and 4. I want us to look at these verses and see that he tells us it was intentional. Moses wants Israel to consider that and to know that. Look at verse 3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Not only did God lead Israel into the wilderness, but also he made it difficult on them. God let them hunger, it says in the wilderness. He let them do that. We read about this in the account of Israel going through the wilderness. God let them hunger for a month in the wilderness before providing food. He let them go thirsty in the wilderness for days before providing them with water. He brought Israel into those moments. And this is what we see in the first two chapters of Job, as I mentioned. Why God led Israel in places where there was no food, in places where there was no water. And look at the rest of verse 3 there. I want you to pay attention to that after it says, allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do we need food to survive in this world? Absolutely. Do we need water? No doubt we do. What is God teaching? He is teaching the importance of his word, what he says, and they need to trust his word. They need to trust in him. I call your attention to Matthew chapter 4. Look in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist. And it says in the opening verses of Matthew chapter 4, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you see the parallels here? Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus was in it for 40 days. He had not eaten 40 days. In 40 nights, it says, he was hungry. Have you ever gone that long without eating? And Satan came to him and tempted him and said, if you are the Son of God, and we know that he was, he is the Son of God. Satan says, command that these stones become bread. And Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy 8, and verse 3, Jesus says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I want you to think about that. How important it is that we realize that our spiritual life depends on the Word of God and knowing it and hearing it and our trusting in God, believing in what He says. We are dependent upon His Word. Israel was dependent upon His Word. All three times when Jesus was tempted there in Matthew chapter 4, and a parallel account is in Luke chapter 4, He goes to the book of Deuteronomy and quotes Scripture. You know, when we're faced with temptation from Satan, it's a good place to go. The Bible. And He is quoting here from what Moses had written, inspired of God, in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, that man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. They needed to trust the Word of God. They needed to believe in His protection. And look at verse 4, He's proved it to them that He's with them. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. God has proved that He is taking care of them. Their clothes did not wear out. And they're not hanging in the closet that has a cedar lining to it to protect. They are wearing these in the desert temperatures. That's miraculous. God is proving that He is with. Their feet did not swell all this time in the heat of the desert. Their sandals, we know, did not wear out. They had manna in the wilderness. Where did that come from? God. He was giving them what they needed. You think about His leading them, and yes, He led them through the wilderness. It gets hot during the daytime in the desert. He led them with a cloud. You know, that's really what they needed, a cloud. That would bring them some relief from that heat. And I understand in the desert at night, it gets cool, it gets cold. And He led them by a pillar of fire. The warmth of that. God is giving them what they need. He is proving to them. They need to learn to depend upon His Word, that He means what He says. And He is faithful. You look back over your life. At times you've gone through difficult days. And you see God's hand. You see His help during your suffering and pain. He's there for you. You need to trust in Him and His Word that He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He's help in time of trouble. We can believe that. But also in the wilderness we see was a time for their being taught. It was a classroom in the wilderness. In verse 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 8, we read, "You should know in your heart that a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you." Verse 5 tells us that in a time of the wilderness, we need to be trained. We need to receive instruction from God. We need to be disciplined. I think sometimes we use that word discipline. We automatically, our mind goes to the negative part of spanking a child. And I believe that needs to be done. But that's not the only kind of discipline it's talking. Disciples were taught. They were instructed. Discipline also is a very positive thing. And I believe that God was to train them, to instruct them before they go into the promised land. They are going into a land that they've never been. They're coming out of Egyptian slavery. And we see they didn't get to go in, but the younger generation did. But it's something they're unfamiliar with. And as you read on in Deuteronomy chapter 8, you know, you're going into a place that has cisterns that you didn't dig, and you're going to find water there. There's going to be orchards you didn't plant, and you're going to eat from those trees. You're going to have these big, beautiful houses that you didn't build. Don't forget who gave you these things. Don't become too proud and self-reliant. You needed to be humbled before you go into the promised land. And realize that God gives you these things. You can trust His promises. I know it's been centuries since He made the promise to Abraham, but He is taking you into the promised land. And we see in Joshua that He will take them into the promised land, and He gives them all that He had promised. But we need to learn from the difficult times in our life. We need to trust God and follow His instruction. In the book of James that we've studied recently on Sunday mornings, it says that endurance is the product of these trials when we go through them. We will learn patience and endurance. Peter mentions it, as we've seen in the first letter of Peter, that our faith is being made genuine and purified when we're in trials. So God's point is that He is teaching us, refining us, and training us in righteousness. That's what He was doing to Israel. They were being disciplined, but also in the last section, they were to be obedient to God in the desert. That's what He wanted from them. That's what they were supposed to do in the wilderness, is be obedient to Him. Listen at Deuteronomy 8, verses 6 through 10. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in the ways and to fear Him, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. What did it say there at the beginning of that passage? They are to walk in His ways. That's keep His commandments. And they are to fear God. Why should we obey when we're in the wilderness? Because God wants us to submit to Him. And I think that's the point that Moses is making here. And to realize that the wilderness is temporary. It's leading us to a promised land. How beautiful the words must have sounded to them in verses 6 through 10. They've never had a land like this, a land of brooks of water. And this be their land? Fountains of springs that flow out of the valleys and hills? What is he talking about? Wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey. Have bread and have leftovers. Since when have they experienced this? And you will lack nothing. And the stones are iron. In those hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and are full, can you think how that must have sounded? You're full. Then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Obedience to God is so important. They're going into this land, but they need to remember who gave them this land, who promised it to Abraham and promised it to his descendants. And here they are at the brink of it, ready to go in. They need to walk in God's ways and fear Him as He takes them into this land, and not forget to be obedient, to obey Him. Really similar thing that Paul says. I want you to look here with me in Romans chapter 8. And I love this chapter. It's so encouraging. Romans chapter 8. I want to look at verses 16 through 18 at what Paul says there. Romans 8, beginning of verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The time of the wilderness is not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us, as we talked about heaven this morning. But notice what else Paul says. We must suffer with Christ so that we can be glorified with Christ. You want to be glorified with Christ? You need to be prepared to suffer with Christ. We need the wilderness. It will humble us. It will reveal our hearts. And it will tell whether or not we're going to obey the Lord when life gets difficult. I want to leave you in this passage. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul uses the wilderness experience of Israel as an example. In 1 Corinthians 10, look at verse 5. God was not pleased with most of the Israelites in the wilderness. So what happens? Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Verse 6, these things become our example. Verse 11, they were written for our admonition. Verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. In verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is not going to put too much on us that we cannot bear, that we cannot handle. And I've heard people say that I couldn't help myself when I was tempted. I had no other choice but to sin. That's not the case. Did you notice in verse 13 it says God is faithful? And he says he will provide a way of escape. Too many of us don't look for that way of escape and try to get out of it and overcome sin. But this, what we've studied tonight, is an example for us, and we need to take heed to it lest we fall. Think about what we've talked about in Deuteronomy 8, specifically verses 2 through 10. Why the wilderness? To humble them, to see what's in their heart and see if they're going to obey him when life gets difficult. The time of the wilderness was intentional. It was not an accident. It was not a mistake. It was God's intent. Verses 3 and 4. He was instructing them, teaching them, disciplining them in the wilderness, verse 5. And then verses 6 through 10, we see that it's all about obedience. And they continue to obey God as they go into the land that he has promised. If you're not a child of God this evening, you don't have hope of the eternal promised land. You know, we have to go through the wilderness sometimes in this life, difficult situations that will test us and try us. And we need to stay faithful to God and stay humble. God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. We need his grace, so let's be humble. Let's show that our hearts are pure. And let's show that no matter what our circumstances in this life, we're going to be obedient to God. If you're not a child of God, won't you submit to him? Won't you, you've heard the word of God, won't you believe it? Repent of your sins, turn away from it, and confess that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins and be faithful unto death, and you'll receive that reward, the crown of life. If you've already been baptized into Christ and been unfaithful and perhaps in a public nature, you need to repent of your sins. We'd be happy to help you if you'll just come forward at this time while together we stand and sing.